All right, here we are, this podcast. Today we have Kevin here. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, David. How are you?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. So happy to see you again. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. Like last time we met was last August, right? August?
Yeah, I mean July.
July
to August. Yeah,
July to August. Yeah, it's been a while, but
it's almost a year, right?
Yeah, it'll be a year next month, huh? Month and a half or so. Yeah.
So, wow. Here we are. Let's just like get right on. Like maybe you can introduce yourself. Like talk a bit about who is Kevin. Who is Kevin?
All right. I can do that. So my name is Kevin Mbano. Mm-hmm. I'm a retired military sailor from the United States Navy. I enlisted in 1998. And I retired last July. And during that time, I studied a lot of spirituality, a lot of yoga, Kabbalah, metaphysics, healing, tantra, massage, everything.
And let's stop right there. So, what does a military guy has to do with spirituality? First of all, I'm curious.
I mean, why would anyone in the military want to be spiritual? That's really the
question.
You know, that's the question, you know?
Yeah.
It's, I think in many ways, it's a contradiction because being in the military, you're very focused, very fine-tuned to do something or do a few things. But there's a certain personality of a person that would want to join the military. And there are certain type of people who would want to become spiritual, do yoga, travel all the time. They're polar opposites.
Mm-hmm.
Polar opposites. Like if you see them in real life, like they're nothing alike. You don't find them in the same bodies, you know, in general, right?
So yeah.
But me, you know, I've always had, well, I joined the military when I was pretty young. I was 19 and I was having some family troubles. That's why I joined, you know. I was never like, man, I really want to be in the military because it's one thing I've always wanted to do. No, it was never like that. It just kind of happened. And I stayed in for 24 years, but it was a very interesting journey and very. I grew so much from it, you know, and it made me who I am today. I'm much more responsible, much more resilient, independent. I can do anything, anywhere. I've been to all continents. Last year, I went to 7 different countries just on my own, traveling and learning. But I guess I've always had that sense of knowing that there was something more, or at least a sense of that this can't be all there is. You know, I was so bored with just status quo. It was unbelievable. Like I was like, whoa, is this all I have to do? Work, sleep, go out and party and rinse and repeat. It was not enough satisfaction for me. So.
Like the military life, what are you talking about?
No. This was in high school. This was in high school. I was like 17 to 19. Whoa, what is this?
Mm.
Yeah, this reality kind of like, it was not satisfying for some reason. I just knew it was boring, very boring. It was too mundane for me. And so I kind of started just wandering around, just trying to see. I'd go to like libraries and try to read books and stuff. I'd go to like random events to see if there was something else that I was missing. But it wasn't until 2010. So I enlisted in 1998, but it wasn't until 2010 that I started actually searching for actual spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in Singapore at that time, and I started suffering from adrenal fatigue, a very, very severe case of adrenal fatigue, as bad as it can possibly get.
Can you explain, like, shortly, what is it about?
So some of the symptoms that I experienced was, for instance, I would wake up in the middle of the night drenched in sweat, my entire body. I'd have to change my sheets and even my mattress sometimes. It was that soaked deep with sweat. I'd wake up 4 to 5 times a night to use the restroom. My energy levels were very low. I couldn't focus or concentrate or remember anything. Like it was just impossible for me to remember something. Now, rewind 12 years earlier, when I enlisted, I was a medic, like a Navy, a medic in the Navy, the called corpsman. So in that course, I was the number one in my class. I blew through that course. It was just, I studied, I could remember anything, everything. I just remembered it. I was sharp as anything you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
But 12 years later, I could remember anything. Oh, unbelievable.
That's crazy. So, do you know what happened? Like, on...
Well, I still don't know what the cause of it was, but I think I have an issue with my central nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about a year after I got back from Iraq the first time.
Mm.
And I just had a lot of stress. I was under a lot of stress, and my nervous system just could not handle the kind of stress. So I just like broke down.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know what happened, but just...
it's not like that you something specific happened. It's like maybe just a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, and then eventually this happened.
Yeah, so yeah, it had been getting worse. Yeah, it had been getting worse over like 4 or 5 years. From 2003 to 2007, it was getting really bad.
Mm.
I didn't do anything about it. But 2010, it was like, I was essentially at the lowest point of my life I could have ever imagined. It was like the end of the world for me.
Can you, what does that mean, the end of the world? How did you
I just
feel?
Felt like everything was unraveling. Like I just could not, I felt it was like just the lowest point of my life. Mm. I just felt that everything was going wrong for me.
Mm.
My family, my friends, my work, my health. Like nothing was good in my life. Nothing.
Mm.
Which, you know, it's hard to imagine. You know, it's hard to imagine being in that position, but that's where I was for a few years, actually. And so that was I call that my dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
But it lasted a few years, though.
It lasted a few years?
Yeah. It wasn't a one day thing for me. Cause I was suffering and there was like no answer. I would go to medical doctors and they would say, yeah, you're fine. Or you can't find anything. You know, what a disappointing answer that is, you know?
Yeah. Of course. So you were still reading during this time, or you didn't read so much in search for spirituality at that time?
Yeah. So at that point I said, I decided to turn to, so I was in Singapore, so there were a lot of, it's kind of a spiritual country. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of spiritual things out there, a lot of yoga, a lot of Reiki, a lot of energy healing, psychic stuff. There were some Buddhist temples I went to, you know. I saw some Chinese medicine doctors. So I studied everything I could. I studied Reiki, Yushui Reiki, Kundalini Reiki, pranic healing, crystal healing, whatever was out there.
You tried it all.
It wasn't like I was studying because I liked information. I needed something.
I needed something
to do to help me. And obviously Western medicine was doing nothing for me. So, but you know, when I got into that subject, it was very interesting, super interesting, you know, feeling energy, seeing energy, you know, so that was very fascinating to me.
How was that? Was that easy for you to get into that seeing and feeling the energy right away, or did it take some time?
No, okay. it wasn't easy at all. Actually, it was quite difficult. And it is still difficult for me to feel energy, but I was so like focused on it. And I think it's going to happen slowly, because I practiced quite a bit. So in 2009, 10-ish, that's when I started like having a daily practice.
Mm.
I met a yoga instructor there, and he taught me Hatha yoga. I started doing that twice a day. I got attuned to Reiki. So I started doing that on myself. Started meditating, doing breathing postures, and I started reading. I read so many books. It was unbelievable. Like, I'll just go on Amazon and start clicking. It was like it was a book on yoga or metaphysics or Reiki. I was reading it. And I read probably like 100 books, easy.
All right, let's just pause here for a second. Let's like the three number one books you would recommend to anyone who's like, first of all, going through a hard time, but also just like yeah, what is just nice to know, really, like, would, to make a good human being, what do you need to know? So some three different topics, for example.
Okay, so the number one book I would recommend for anyone on the spiritual path, or even someone that's struggling in life, my number one book is The Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. Yeah.
All right.
The Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. Yeah.
Good. We'll put that in writing also in the description.
So that book, so reading the book itself is a spiritual process. So the book will do things to you. Literally. It'll do things to you. No, literally, it'll do things to you. So
maybe I should get that one also.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my number one book. So back then I was like searching kind of aimlessly, because I just didn't know what to do. I just read this, do that, whatever. After I read that book, it focused all my attention. And it like gave me like a boost of like psychological energy, gave me like all this willpower. I was like, oh, this is amazing. So
oh my God, I can feel it over here already.
Yeah, right. So now I could move through life with much more purpose, much more focus, much more deliberation. Because before I was just kind of randomly doing things, you know, just searching. But now after I read that book, I was like, man, I felt amazing. I felt like I had like a rocket pack in my back. It was like flying me places. I felt amazing, you know. So that's the number one book I read. And really after that book, I think everything kind of comes to you. You find other things, you find what you need, you know? Like that will lead you to things, you know. It's weird to say that. Yeah, it's weird to say that, but that's the only book I've ever read that's done that to me. The Bible, especially apart from the Bible. The Bible is very transformative itself, but that book was amazing. The other book I would recommend is, it's called The Secret Teachings of All Ages by Manly P. Hall. That one is like, it's like a collection of short stories about spirituality. You know, so you can start anywhere and finish anywhere. So it's like an encyclopedia of information.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
On all kinds of spirituality, from shamanism to esoteric, like,
wow, that sounds so interesting.
To Kabbalah, yeah, because it's like rocks and plants and like everything's there. Everything is right there. So it's like, it's a fantastic combo, and that's what I'd recommend to anyone. So,
and the third one?
I don't have a third one. I have a bunch of other books.
But these two books, so
there's a guy called Swami Rama. He was also an Indian yogi, you know. He's the one who kind of gave me a foundation of Hatha yoga. You know, I had a physical instructor there, but he gave me sort of like a lot of background to exactly the foundation of yoga itself. Swami Rama, he taught me a lot about breathing techniques, just how to structure your spiritual practice and why you have a spiritual practice and the power of the breath. You know, he's one that got me into breathing. Like, why is yogic breathing so important? You know, so he actually explains it and why it's so important. So those two books and that author is really good.
Right, amazing. Well, now we're talking about breathing. Let's maybe jump right on into where did we meet?
Me, us, you and I?
Where did we meet?
This was 2022, right? So exactly. fast forward 10 years, right? I was in my I was actually retiring from the military, actually. Yeah, I was there
right before, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, actually right at retirement, right at retirement. I was in Bali.
Yeah.
And I was studying tantra massage, actually.
So why tantra massage?
How did you? The year prior, 2021, I received the COVID vaccine, and it shut me down.
Okay.
And it still affects me today. And I was looking for ways just to get healthier. And I had done a lot of work with spirit, you know, and the mind, but I had done nothing with the body. I had done no body work at all. I had done a lot of energy stuff. I had done a lot of, you know, meditation, channeling. I had no, like everyone says, well, mind, body, and spirit, right? But I've only done mind and spirit, and I've not done anything with the body. So I knew I had to do some sort of body work training. But I started off actually with, there's a place called Alchemy of Touch, Transformational Body Work Academy. They're they train out of in Spain, I think, and they teach massage, basically a combination of different types of massage modalities into one, like one technique, you know. So I started there, and then Tantra. So I spent a lot of time researching on stuff, you know. So I just found Tantra and read a lot about it. And then I combined that with massage and said, okay, how about Tantra massage and see what we can do? Mm. So I found this Google searching one day, I found Sarita, Tantra Essence. And so I felt it was for me. I went to the website. I called one of the assistant instructors. I got an interview with him, and that was it. I flew to Bali and started studying massage, Tantra massage. And, you know, it's something that I had never done before.
Life-changing, also a game-changer.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think it's an experience I think many people actually need. First of all, it's a very educational course, very, very informative. I learned quite a bit there, you know?
Yeah.
It's almost worth taking twice. It's one of those courses. It's not just massage, right? It's like it's massage, lots of psychotherapy, there are rituals, there are meditation, there's male and female sexuality. It's a rich soup. It's a rich like meal of a spiritual course. It's amazing. You know, as far as the contract, that course, probably one of the best I've ever had. I was so impressed with it, you know?
Really, and, I agree on that, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I just remember some of the exercises we went through, even the rich, it was crazy.
Yeah.
People were processing stuff like crazy.
No, it's a very powerful course. And the group that we had was amazing. I think one of the best groups I've ever had, I think. Maybe my number one group, it was fantastic.
It was almost too good to be true, I think. Like, the people were so perfect. They were so perfect in that group. Like it was meant to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I like how they did, I like a couple of things. I like lots of things, but I like how they did the selection of massage partners and how it was random.
Mm-hmm.
How certain patterns showed up again and again, you know? Then that itself was like, it's so many layers of education and teaching. It's like, you can't, it's amazing. It's like several layers of knowledge, you know? I can't speak enough about that course.
Amazing. A big recommendation.
Yeah, and we're a very international group of people.
Yeah, we've the most diverse, I think, right?
Yeah,
think
and they said we're all the most like, yeah. And we're all just on the same vibrational level.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where we were born, what country, what color, we were all one. It was amazing.
Yeah, really.
And I feel like we could, like, I could trust everyone there and anyone.
Mm.
I needed something. Anyone could just help me out. You know, I just like
that. That's so unique, you know. That's so, I think
It shouldn't be unique, though. I shouldn't have to travel from the States to Bali to find that. No, I should just have that all the time, you know?
That reminded me, I had one sharing during the training where I said, like, some of my friends that I've known for 15 and 20 years, I have not even known them so close as maybe you or some of the other guys, you know, from the course. It was so crazy. And that short amount of time, how close we got to each other. That was, that got me thinking of course, you know, and reflecting upon my own life. So, yeah. Really, really. It's crazy that we need to travel such a long distance just to, you know, experience that kind of life.
Yeah, I think I noticed, though, when I work in the spiritual realm, I can always be much more connected with people in a much deeper way than I would be with someone I meet in a non-spiritual container. What will take me years to do on the outside takes months or weeks in a spiritual realm, you know?
What about the military, what about the military? Because there's also some bonds that I know from other friends that are made in the military that can grow very strong. So if you compare these two.
Yeah, so in the military, you work very close with people. You're very close with them, and you're in some very, very tough situations. You know, it could be life or death situations. So that itself builds very, very strong bonds that last a long time. And there are many friends who have... There are many people I know in the military who've had military friends for decades, just because they've gone through so much together, you know?
Mm.
but it's the intensity of the military that makes it, you know? It's the how close you work physically. It's all the things that you have to do together, you know? All that is duplicated in a spiritual retreat for a month, just doing something else. But exact same thing happens, but it's, in my opinion, it's actually deeper. It's deeper. Because you're bypassing layers. Like in the military, yeah, you still have a mask that you kind of put on. At that spiritual retreat, a lot of that comes off. You know, a lot of that just goes away, and you're able to connect way deeper. Plus, you know, in the military, you're kind of shamed if you reveal certain things about yourself. You have to hide certain things. You have to have a face. You have to have a mask on. You must, you know?
Why?
That's how you lead people. Like a lot of leadership is it's confidence. It's putting yourself, making yourself look like you're something else, you know?
Yeah.
While in spiritual realm, no, you are just laid bare.
Yes.
You know, all your problems, you're just laid bare and everyone can see for who you are. While in the military, you have to kind of put on a face and a mask. But it's necessary to do your job. But in the spiritual realm, you have to do like the exact opposite.
So what would you say to anyone who's maybe listening to this, who's in the military right now? Do you have like any words, any recommendations, anything that you would like to share?
I think studying like spirituality, yoga, you know, Kabbalah, metaphysics, it can really open it opens the mind to possibilities. It allows someone to expand.
But would that be good for a military guy? Would that be good for someone in the military?
Yeah, I think it would, because spiritual allows you to expand, allows you to grow. There's a tendency, at least when I was in the military, to see things from only a couple of different ways. You know, this is where we're going to do it. This way or this way. These are only two ways, you know? Sometimes in the spiritual realm, your mind is open to different possibilities. You have to see things from many different angles. And I can see, it allows you to see how you're holding yourself back, you know?
Let me pause you right here, because it's very interesting. Because I'm trying to picture myself like a soldier in war. Is it necessary for him to know that there's a lot of possibilities, or is it better to know that this and that, this or that? Like, do you know what I mean? Is it good for a soldier? Is it good spirituality, or is it what do you mean?
Yeah. So for me, it has to do with a time and place. You know? If you're in the battlefield, yes, maybe there are only a few options. But if you develop yourself spiritually and your senses spiritually, you can feel more, you can see more, you can hear more, you can see where things are coming from or not coming from. It can use as a level of protection.
I see.
An ally, you know, it can be very, very useful for you, you know? If you just develop yourself in all the senses and, you know, meditation, you open up different parts of your body. There's so many things you can do with spirituality. And I think it's definitely a benefit. For me, it's definitely a benefit. Now, obviously, spirituality in itself has... it's almost antithetical to what the military does, because the military is very non-spiritual. But you can combine the two. You can combine the two and make yourself just a broader person, a more expansive person, someone with a broader foundation that really allows you more options. You know, it's like having a tool belt with much more things that you could pull from versus one or two things. You know, it's an asset. But that's not how I look at spirituality. Yeah, I mean, you can be. I mean, spirituality helps you as a person, right? You develop. You're just more developed as a person. You know, so it doesn't hurt you. It's not gonna hurt you at all.
Because I'm wondering. That's why I'm asking. Because I think maybe as you evolve as a spiritual person and you get into the stuff, maybe you would then be like, maybe the military is not for me anymore. That's like the way I'm thinking. What do you think? Do you think like developed spirituality would stay, or maybe you would leave the
military? I mean, I studied a lot of crystal healing, so I'm all about healing and, you know, helping people. So while the military can be somewhat different, you know, sometimes. So there can be contradictions depending on what you do, but you have to find your path and what you want to do.
Of course.
And you have to just be able to be good with your path, to be settled mentally on what you're doing. So
just finish.
It has to be a very individual choice, but spirituality in general can only help someone. And if you decide to do a different job, you know, then, or different career, then so be it. You know, people leave the military and enter the military all the time for different reasons. So it's not a detriment to anyone. So I'll definitely always recommend it. Actually, on one of my ships, we did have a meditation circle.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't a very big one, but there were like eight of us. We met once. We went like eight times total over a few months. We would sit and meditate, and you know, it was very few people that did that. but you know, that option is there.
All right. Another thing I was wondering about is like, is there anything you would like that people, they would think about when they meet you as a person who has been in the military, or maybe just as you as a person? Is there anything you would like that people would be like, maybe take into consideration or anything like that?
I mean, people who meet me probably just don't know my background, so they don't know how I approach things. But I think as a person, I'm kind of, you get what you see. I like to be as transparent as possible, especially now that I'm out of the military. I don't try to hide as much. There are definitely things I'm working through as a person. But I think just in general, trying to make yourself better is my goal. And it's been my goal for a long time. And I think it's something that I always like to impart on people whenever I see them. You know, if they ask me what I'm doing, I always tell them kind of like where I'm going in life, what I'm doing, how I'm doing, and I'm always trying to do something. Trying to move forward, to be expansive, to, you know, just develop myself. So that's probably something people would find interesting in me.
Yeah, that's like very, very nice words, like motivational words, words inspirational. Do you have anything else that you would like to really like get off your heart? Anything you would like to, the world to know? Then now is the time, because we are lacking to watch the end of this podcast.
So. I think nowadays in society, I think it's a good idea to try and see if people could just see the connectedness in all of us instead of the differences in all of us. You know, in all these retreats that I've gone to, it doesn't matter what retreat it is, but a spiritual retreat, it's amazing how people from all these different countries get along amazingly. Like, it's like no drama, yet in the real world, it's like exact opposite, you know? So I think it's good to connect with people on some level. Just pick something and connect that way, and kind of grow from that, you know? Find a common thread, a common topic, and just kind of connect. I think the more connected we are, I think the stronger we are as a people. And a lot of people nowadays, there's a tendency for people to be independent. Like, independence is kind of people talk about it a lot, but I think interdependence is better. I think if we depend on each other, I think we're much better as a society. I can grow so much. From interdependence, you get networking, sharing ideas, you know, coming together to do things. You know, I think that's such a good way of doing anything versus kind of do it yourself. I think that makes us a much better society. I think that's where we used to be, you know, a long time ago. And we strayed away from that, so, you know, for a long time. And I can see it, you know, I can see the division. And it really isn't helping us, I think, as a society. And you can see that. It's pretty obvious nowadays. And I think it's good to maybe focus, you know, every once in a while, just, you know, do something that's maybe out of your comfort zone and go and maybe associate with people or an organization that you might not on a regular basis, and just see if there's something you can connect with, and just, you know, make an effort every once in a while. I think that's something people should try and do.
Wow, Kevin, these are the words, the final words. Wow, Kevin, thank you so much for being on this podcast. This is this was amazing.
Well, how about you? Like, what are you doing? Like,
in this podcast, I'm going to interview you, you know, so we're going to save that for part two.
that's a different interview altogether. It's a completely different story.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, this has been amazing, Kevin.
But actually, there's one thing. So my next journey is, I think I might be going to England, actually.
Oh, you're coming closer to Denmark. That's good. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, just keep coming, man.
in October, yeah.
In October, yeah. What are you doing there?
Yeah, there's an organization called the Modern Mystery School.
Okay.
Modern Mystery School. It's very old school, and I'll be taking something called the Ritual Master course. So it's 2 days and a couple other courses, but I was saying the Ritual Master course there. And I'm actually excited, and I'd like to see what that holds for me.
Yeah, can't wait to hear more about that. And when do we meet in Bali again?
I don't know. When's next?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see, definitely, at some point.
Yeah.
Kevin, let's finish the talk here.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.